support the reasons in the Council Town Planning Report and that the overshadowing is of a marginal nature. And therefore, we are satisfied with the conditions and the... Did you wish to address the conditions, Mr Jordan?
No, I
don't. What about the air conditioning units?
What?
No, okay.
I think, no, he doesn't know anything about it. I don't think I can...
All right, so the panel adopts the recommendation. The reasons is that the panel supports the findings contained... supports the findings contained in the assessment report and endorses the reasons for approval contained in that report. Thank you very much. So now we can move on to the next item, item number four. This is the application for alterations and additions to the boarding house building at 56 Burt Street, Roselle. I note that the applicant's architect is here, but we don't need to hear from you because the panel is prepared to adopt the recommendation to approve this development. The alterations are all internal. There's an application to vary some of the development standards, but they are marginal, and some of the non-compliances are already in the existing building. We also note that there are no submissions or objections to this proposal. So in relation to item four, we adopt the recommendation, both parts A and B of the recommendation. And the panel, again...
Did he want to speak to the conditions? Did he want to speak to the conditions? Yeah.
Yes. The architect is here, I think.
You're the owner.
Are you happy with the conditions?
I am, yes.
All right. So the panel adopts the recommendation, both A and B, the reasons being that the panel supports the findings contained in the assessment report and endorses the reasons for approval contained in that report. And thank you very much.
Thank you.
So we can now move on to item five. This is the development at 7 Emily Street, Leichhardt. There is no one here interested in Emily Street. All right. There's no one registered to speak here. And I don't think there's any objections.
There's two hands went up.
Yes, there's no one registered to speak.
There's one submission. Going to the report.
All right. Do you want to deal with it?
Sure.
Yeah.
Microphone on.
Turn the microphone.
Sorry, someone put up their hand.
They're the applicants.
Oh. Oh, the applicant. Okay. So the panel visited the site. It's quite an unusual warehouse building. There's an existing extension. We understand that the proposal is to provide a new first floor addition. We're satisfied with the variation to the development standards. The council is recommending some deferred commencement conditions that go to the landscaped area and the reduction of the reach. So are you happy with complying with those requirements? So then the panel adopts the officer's recommendation and supports the clause 4.6 variations to the I think it's landscaped area and FSR and possibly height, is it? Full space ratio and landscaped area. And that decision was unanimous.
All right, thank you very much. So we can move on to item number seven. This is the item number six. This is the development at 77 Ramsey Street, Haverfield. Yes. Item number six, development at 77 Ramsey Street, Haberfield. Is Miss Roby here? Is Miss Roby here? No? All right. Is the applicant here, Mr. McCruby? Yes, please.
Mr. Chairman.
First, for the record, your name and address, please.
Darren McCubry. I'm the applicant at 77 Ramsey Street, Haberfield.
All right. Now,
the objector.
No, I've just called for the objector and she's not here.
Yes.
We have a problem here with the proposed clause 4.6 variation to the height and landscaped area control. The application under clause 4.6 to vary those two development standards is, in our view, unsatisfactory and incomplete. What we've effectively determined is that because the application to vary those two development standards is unsatisfactory and incomplete, we feel that we don't have jurisdiction to determine this application or to approve it. So what we're going to do is give you an opportunity to lodge a what we might call a proper application to vary those standards under clause 4.6. And we're going to put a time limit on it. Does that trouble you? I'm sorry, to turn on the mic.
That won't pose a problem going forward. I would like to provide some colour on why we have had delays to date, which have been medically based with my designer, Mr. Peketich, who's had a major car accident in the 18th of May this year, which required his hospitalisation for a month.
I mean, we can't deal with this application. We
have understand that.
We cannot deal with it because the application under clause 4.6 to vary the development standards doesn't comply with the legislation.
Okay.
It clearly doesn't comply with the legislation. So it's got to be done. It's got to be done again.
Fine.
If it's done again, then I think you're in the clear. But it's got to be done again.
Okay.
And until it's done, we cannot approve this development.
Okay.
Correct?
Yes.
Yes.
And we did have one. It looks like somebody stood up at the back there, but the designer, very well. We would suggest, in the circumstances, you do get somebody else to do your clause 4.6 variation and to address all of the issues that are required by the legislation. And you can refer to some relevant court cases for some guidance in that area. But it's clearly just engage a planner to prepare that 4.6 variation for you. And then we can have the jurisdiction to determine the application. One other thing that we were going to ask you as well was that we went to the rear of the property and the people behind their homes, and it just seems that it would be appropriate for a canopy tree to be planted in the backyard just to filter views of your extension, and we just really need a response from you as to whether you would object to such the imposition of a condition to that effect.
Apologies, I don't object to that. The only issue I'd raise is there is a major easement across the back of the property.
Right, well, it can be planted away from the easement in the
sure.
in
okay.
the lawn area. Yes.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Yep.
And so in terms of our determination or rather consideration of the matter, the panel will defer. The panel will defer its consideration to wait for the 4.6 written submission, and this should be forwarded to the council within 4 weeks. And if the panel is of a mind to then approve it, we can't predetermine the application, but on the basis of the new 4.6 variation, if we are minded to approve the application, then we would require the imposition of a condition to require a canopy tree in the rear yard to filter views of the development from the rear dwelling. And if we don't receive it within the 4 weeks, then the matter will be refused, and we can electronically determine the development application with the provision of the adequate 4.6 written request. But our jurisdiction, as has been explained to you, cannot be exercised until we have that proper 4.6. And but we have to provide a time limit on it, and so we will give you a month to do so.
Thank you.
And if, for example, there's something happens to somebody else, then you can ask for what is called a Section 82A review if a formal refusal has to be made. But we're hoping for the first. Thank you.
So am I. Thank you.
Thank you very much. So now we can move on to item number 7. This is the proposed residential flat building at 16 and 16A Tintern Road, Ashfield. And I think we have one objector here. Do we?
Excuse me, Chair. I've got the conflict of interest.
Oh, yes. Go ahead. Just say that you have a conflict of interest and we'll...
Yes, I have a conflict of interest with this item, as I know the objectors for the development, or more than one objector, so I'm going to excuse myself from the meeting.
Yeah. All right, we still have a quorum, so we can determine this matter. Is Maria Providente here? Please come forward. I can say we visited the site of your parents' property today.
Yes, thank you.
And viewed the site of the proposed development from their backyard, and we understand what's proposed. You have 3 minutes. Firstly, for the record, your name and address.
All right. My name is Maria Providenti, and I'm the daughter of the owners of 35 Prospect Road, Summerhill. So just a few issues they wanted me to raise, the first being the condition of consent for the downstream easement for stormwater drainage. Noted in the document, as the site falls to the rear, an easement for drainage over the downstream properties is required to be created 1 metre wide. Satisfactory written documentation of the creation of an easement or of a legal agreement to create an easement shall be submitted to council. From what I understand, that hasn't been submitted or resolved or addressed by the developers. How can a development go ahead without this? This has been an issue in the past with submissions. We are not in a position to grant an easement, and properties with easements are hard to sell and in turn devalue properties. The second issue, the top floor rooftop terrace or rear balcony, setback and privacy issues. The rooftop terrace overlooks directly into our backyard and home. The technicality that they are not considered balconies and therefore not explicitly required to comply with building separation requirements we feel is unfair. They serve the same purpose and impose the same lack of privacy, probably more so as terraces can accommodate a larger number of people directly looking into our rear yard and home, compromising our enjoyment of it. Noted in the documentation, the perimeter planter boxes will only minimise opportunities for overlooking and only provide adequate visual privacy. We feel this is not good enough. The setback. The setback from the rear boundary is inadequate and only allows for a communal landscaped area, not including any mature trees to help with screening. Currently, the rear boundary has no overlooking windows, terraces or balconies. In comparison, the adjoining rear unit block at 12 to 14 Tintern is set much further back and screened by mature trees. The neighbouring unit block at number 33 Prospect on our driveway side and on the driveway side, do not directly look into the yard and only two stories high. We note that the height of the proposed building will appear even more imposing and overbearing, directly impacting our privacy. The further concern is that the onlooking terraces and excessive height will also devalue the property. Third is there is a board sewer and other sewage pipes that run closer on the boundary line, and I've got a sewage diagram here. I don't know if the developers have actually realised that. I don't know how the development will impact on that, the underground parking, which is located near there, and does the development need to access these pipes on the property and how will it be undertaken, raising the issue again of accessing our property and issues surrounding that. There's the issue of the demolition of the rear brick boundary on the rear brick building on the boundary. How will that be done? What impact will it have on my parents' property? It raises access issues and compensation issues, loss of enjoyment of their backyard during the build, construction mess, health issues, dust and other potential hazards. They're in their 80s, so you can understand my concern with them to cope with such a big development over a long period of time. The fifth issue, this is the fifth time the DA has been submitted, so all previous four have been refused. I'm done. Beg your pardon? Okay, so that was the fifth time that they've put in the DA. The last four have been refused. Just raises concerns that all the requirements aren't being met and that neighbouring properties' concerns are warranted. We are aware that there are adjoining unit blocks, however, these were built over 40 years ago and building codes and community expectations have changed to best protect the community and for the developers to adhere to the guidelines. We trust the panel will carefully consider our issues. Thank you.
All right, thank you very much.
Thank you.
There are three people who wish to speak on behalf of the applicant. Mr. Player. All right, please come forward. What we'd like you to address are the matters that have been raised by Ms. Providente.
I'm one of the objectors.
Oh, you're one of the objectors. Okay. For whom? For whom? Okay, good.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and panel members. My name is Robert Player. I'm a town planner and managing director of DFP Planning, and I have an office at Thornlea and also an office at Cammeray. I'm representing Philip and Jane Tuckerman. They are the owners and the long-term residents of number 37 Prospect Road. I believe you inspected their property today. It directly adjoins the rear of the development site. In the few days since the council report has been released and it's attached to the revised plans, I've had an opportunity to go through those design modifications with my clients, and generally speaking, a number of the concerns that we raised in our earlier letter of objection have been addressed with the amended plans. However, there are two specific matters of concern that my clients have, and I agree with them, that can be dealt with by way of conditions of consent. They're in fact in the deferred commencement conditions of consent. If I can refer you to, firstly to the deferred commencement condition 3. That condition requires the applicant to prepare updated landscape plans for the proposed development that are consistent with the revised architectural plans. Our request is that that condition include another requirement, and that is to ensure that there is appropriate canopy screen trees that are provided within the deep soil zone rear landscaped area. The additional requirement to add to that condition 3 is that the landscape plans are to include suitable species of canopy screen trees with a minimum mature growth height of 6.0 metres to be located within the deep soil zone in the rear landscape setback area of the site and to be to the satisfaction of the council. If you look at the architectural plans, the ground floor plan, which is DA08C, shows a rear setback area of 3 metres, and there are 8 trees that are shown on that architectural plan. We do not have a landscape plan, and so the concern is what type of planting is proposed in that area. It is important to, because it's only a 3 metre setback, it is important that that, may I continue? It is important that those trees be of sufficient number and height to provide softening of the bulk of the apartment building and to also provide visual privacy screening, particularly to the upper floor level windows and balconies. The second condition, which 6 metres, and the reason I've proposed the 6 metres, if you look at the architectural drawing DA05C section AA, it shows a tree in that rear setback area, and I've scaled it to be between 6 metres to 7 metres, and you can see where they've shown the planter box, the view line. So I've assessed that if you had a canopy trees which are of a height of at least 6 metres, that would at least provide screening of the rear yard from the ground and first floor units in the same way that it's being achieved by the planter boxes on the top floor level. The other condition which is most important that is imposed is condition 4, that's the deferred commencement condition 4, which requires the applicant to provide a 1.6 metre high privacy screen around the full perimeter of the terrace areas to both units 3 and 4. The reason why that is important is to ensure that there's visual privacy from those ground floor areas. Otherwise, there would be direct looking over the top of the fence because the terrace areas are at least half a metre above natural ground level because of the slope of the land. And so it's important that that be provided. And again, that should be shown on the revised landscape plans. There is one other matter that I would seek the applicant's representatives or possibly the council's planner to clarify, and that is that the ground floor plan shows a 3 metre setback for the full length of the rear boundary. But when you look at the basement car parking plan, which is DA07D, it shows that there is a step out of the basement car park near the rear boundary, which is clearly necessary to provide a manoeuvring area for the end aisle car spaces, and therefore it would appear that the setback area along the rear boundary is not a continuous 3 metres, it's something less than that. So I'd like to get some clarification as to what is being proposed and whether there will be sufficient area to provide planting of trees within that setback area. Other than those two points, our clients do not have any other objections and would not be of concern if the panel was of a mind to grant consent subject to appropriate conditions to the application. Thank you.
All right, thank you, Mr. Player. Now, who wants to address us on behalf of the applicant? We have
just one point. Just, Mr. Player, just I noticed that number 37, if I look at that 07D, there's only a small portion of the basement that protrudes into that is common with the boundary of 37.
Yes, it's a part of that basement car park
area. Yeah, I understand, but it's only a small portion that's directly, yes. Yes, opposite.
It's really a matter of that we don't have any dimensions.
Yep.
And is it going to be of sufficient width to be able to accommodate the spring planting in that area?
Now we have Mr. Black and Mr. Kennedy. Who wants to come
and
come forward, please? All right, the issues which we have are those raised by the objectors, and that's what we'd like to hear you on.
Certainly. My name is Steve Kennedy. I'm the architect, and my address is number 1 Booth Street, Annandale.
Benjamin Black. I'm a town planner on behalf of the applicant, and business address 531-533 Kingsway, Miranda. Thank you.
Chair, I certainly address those matters. If we go backwards and start with Mr. Player and his comments with regards to condition 3 and condition 4, we don't object to the conditions and we're accepting of the report in its current form. The comment about condition 3 and appropriate canopy trees, we are entirely in agreement with him. The design of this development shows what is generally a 3 metre wide perimeter strip that is part of the communal and communal body's responsibility rather than the private responsibility, in order to ensure that substantial perimeter planting is placed and maintained surrounding the development. And the trees shown are indicative of the intentions. The diagram that Mr. Player referred to was in fact showing that the planter on the top floor, which is a metre wide and is set back 9 metres from our boundary, means that somebody standing there can only see the soffit of the neighbouring property, not down into it. However, 6-7 metre type planting around that perimeter is something we're entirely in agreement with. His question about the setback with regards to the basement car park is correct. There is a 1 metre blind alley that is required by the Australian standards for reversing of cars. It means for that strip only. The depth of the perimeter planting is still 2 metres or greater, and that is certainly adequate. Our landscape architects have ensured us to have sufficient planting that will do the job. I think that actually addresses what Mr. Player addressed. With regards to Ms. Providenti, the first comment was with regard to the roof terrace. The building separation provided by this development between our building and the habitable spaces and terraces of our building and the rooms and walls of her building are in the order of 24 metres, which is within the apartment design guide for a much, much greater building separation. We have complied with council setbacks. We have exceeded those. We've got a building that's in lower mass. Can I keep going through these points, Chair? The other point to make is that there is a substantial planter, which is because of nothing else and BCA requirements these days, planters must be a metre high to prevent climbability and to ensure protection. The area of the terrace that is on the eastern side of the neighbours is in fact a narrow strip. The primary open spaces, or the principal private spaces, pardon me, of the two top floor units face north and south, not east. I think I've just addressed items one and two of her comments, both the roof terrace and setback. The sewer, yes, we're aware of the sewer issues, and yes, we have been assured that we can deal with those adequately. The demolition of the rear brick building, there are a pile of conditions within council's conditions about construction, and they are standard conditions and we will obviously comply with them. And the fact that it's a fifth DA, it's the first DA by my firm.
And can I just note that condition two of the deferred commencement you're prepared to accept, which requires before the operational conditions a 1 metre easement?
Yes, we're aware of that as well.
Which was just one of the issues that was also raised.
I beg your pardon, we're aware of that. We also have read the condition or the comment and the conditions about the electricity. There's a very long discourse in there. I'm not sure it's particularly appropriate within the conditions, but this is only providing power to this development. It's not the main power lines, and we are utterly confident we can address that.
I'm happy I've looked through the conditions. There's a construction management one, number three, and the normal demolition.
All right, thank you very much. I can say that the panel has carefully considered the matter and has come to a decision, which is to approve the development subject to conditions and to approve the variations sought to the floor space ratio and the permissible height. We note that the height infringement only relates to the lift overrun, and the building plan has been amended to reduce the floor space ratio, and we're happy with those amendments. We are prepared, therefore, to approve the development subject to the recommended conditions, including
adding to deferred commission condition three the following: a suitable species of canopy screen trees are to be provided and maintained in the deep soil landscaping at the rear of the property and to achieve a minimum 6 metres in height. That's added to deferred commission, deferred condition three. Otherwise, the panel adopts the recommendation, and the panel's reasons are that it supports the findings contained in the assessment report and endorses the reasons for approval contained in that report. And thank you for your attendance. All right, we can get Miss Wharton back.
Am I able to get you to repeat the changes?
Hmm?
Am I able to get you to repeat the changes
that were
moved for that particular matter?
We'll give it to you.
We'll give it to you later. Yeah. Yep. Mm.
Thank you. Heather?
We'll get our other panel member back. No.
Just running DFP.
Mm. He was very sensible.
Oh, he is.
Mm.
A bit of a smirk up when he realised we'd bring.
All right. We can now move on to item 8. This is the proposed boarding house at 59 Warren Road, Marrickville. And we have someone here on behalf of the applicant, Mr. Threlfo. Please come forward, Mr. Threlfo.
Have we got any objectors?
No. No objectors.
Should you just ask?
Is there anyone else here with an interest in that matter? No, just Mr. Threlfo. You're on your own, Mr. Threlfo. I should say right at the outset that one of the concerns we have is the problem with traffic. We don't have a proper traffic report and impact on traffic upon what is an already heavily trafficked and narrow road at the frontage. Do you have a traffic report? Please press the. All right. Well, for the record, your name and address.
Yes. Okay. My name is Bruce Threlfo. I'm the town planning consultant for the applicant. I've taken to you've read my written submission and won't add substantially to that. I just wanted to emphasise that we've been through a lengthy consultative process with council, and that's I think resulted in a proposal that's substantially within the development standards. We're not pushing any boundaries. And I think we've got a report that deals with the matters fairly comfortably. Interestingly, I'm prepared to make some comments on traffic. One, because I have experience with traffic matters, and in fact I used to attend Leichhardt Council's traffic committee. And I live in Marrickville and regularly go to the Woolworths supermarket on the other side of the street. Look, I acknowledge that this is a relatively tight area and I've done other developments back onto Stinson Lane. We've never been asked for a traffic report. To some extent, the traffic generation you get from boarding houses is relatively low given that your car parking demand is relatively low compared to a residential flat building. Warren Road is a narrow street, and I don't know whether you know, but there's actually no parking restrictions during the daytime, which reflects the tightness of the street. And I noticed one of the suggestions in the resident submissions was to make Warren Road one way. And whilst that's not part of this committee to make a decision, I think that that's probably a pretty sensible suggestion. Obviously, we could get a traffic report. I think the traffic generation would be of the order of 6 to 8 vehicles an hour in peak hour. And I'm prepared to say that that can be accommodated in this location. I haven't read the objections. I've read what's in the assessment report.
Right. They're pretty consistent in their damnation of the traffic situation, including the fact that there are many minor accidents. You're likely to lose your side windows, side mirrors on the day.
I didn't realise it turned itself off.
Yes, it does.
Sorry, did you want me to repeat that?
No, I heard. Did you hear
it? In part, but
that's okay.
So I hope I'm not asking you to repeat yourself, but in terms of site amalgamation, there is some concern that the adjoining dwelling will not be able to redevelop to the same as what's proposed on the subject site, given the changes to the affordable housing, SEP and parking, and the constrained width of the site as such. Would you like to comment on that?
With regard to the property 55, I would probably acknowledge that it's difficult to develop that property in isolation. There has been a history of discussions between the property 57 being the middle one, I would probably accept that that would be difficult to develop in isolation. The concept we did was for a joint development of 55 and 57, and as the report pointed out, there has been a history of negotiations between these three property owners, which unfortunately did not come to any success. Proposal, personally subject to future discussions, could provide vehicular access through the parking area on our site to the rear of the site at 55, but I acknowledge what you're saying, that the likely additional car parking requirement for a development on 55 does render some problems for the development of that property.
So would you be prepared to accept an easement that would allow that vehicular access at the rear of your property?
Well, I'd have to ask my clients.
Yes, I realise that, but this is done in places, and I was just curious to know.
Yes, we would be prepared to do that.
I'm sure that means, because the Romans have a different...
I'm advised that, subject to a suitable commercial arrangement, that would be quite acceptable.
We can't put that into a condition, as you realise, from a planning point of view. It would have to be a condition that's enforceable as such, which would be that there be access provided.
Look, I realise that. It would be. I've been advised that it's acceptable. The adjoining property at 57.
Your property, where you are building right to the boundary and not right next door to their driveway.
So, all I can say is that that's what the planning controls dictate.
traffic on Warren. So is there anything that can be advanced as part of this application that might bring about some solution other than you putting extra cars on Warren Road?
Well, I don't think that there would be many extra cars in the residential section of Warren Road. I mean, I can't add anything more than that. Just coming back to the issue of the adjoining driveway, if reversing out of that driveway, I would have thought that there's still a reasonable sight line in both directions before a vehicle would reverse into the traffic stream. Well, we're building to the side boundary. Yep.
We can straighten that out, get them out later. What do you think?
No, but aren't they talking about here? So we're talking about the property at 57 Warren Road.
Yes.
Yes, okay. No, it's this corner here. Well, it's probably feasible to do something at that corner. The entry door set back, it's a fire egress passage. I mean, there could be something done at ground level on that corner. We've splayed the other corner, and I can't see any reason why... it may well need to have a supporting post, but then you could probably put a gap in it. If you follow.
That's what you're referring to in here.
Yep.
That's the garage.
Yep.
If we need it to, we can set that back.
Yep. I mean, the architect just advised me that we can set back that wall on the boundary by probably at least... 1.5 metres. One and a half metres.
Yep. We can set back further.
It's the southwest ground floor corner.
The egress door corner.
Yep. The fire egress corner. Or the yep. It's the southwest corner though. Well, I've just been advised it can go back as far as 2 metres.
Is the applicant happy with the conditions otherwise?
Yes.
All right. Then all right, I can announce the decision of the panel. I think it's unanimous, but we'll see. The panel adopts the recommendation subject to two additional conditions. The first is that the southwest ground floor corner of the proposed building be set back 2 metres from the front alignment. The second condition is that an easement 3 metres wide be provided from Warren Lane, Stimson Lane, across the rear boundary of the subject property in favour of number 57. Warren Avenue.
Okay, can I make two comments, please?
Yes.
The first on the condition.
On the sidewall, could you refer to the sidewall on the boundary of the southwest corner?
Yes. So the southwest ground floor, the sidewall on the southwest ground floor corner be set back 2 metres from the frontal line.
Yes.
Is that happy?
Yes. Well, it's clear. It might be interpreted as a two-metre display. So just on... Sorry, a comment on the second condition.
Wait a minute. Let's get number one right. Subject to the following additional conditions. No. Go back. It is subject to the following additional conditions. Go back.
It says the following changes.
Yes, it said the word changes.
Additional conditions.
They're the following additional conditions. One, the wall on the southwest ground floor corner is to be set back 2 metres from the front alignment of the property. Secondly, an easement 3 metres wide is to be provided from Stinson Lane across the rear boundary of the property in favour of 57 Warren.
Warren.
Road, Marrickville. All right.
It's not the rear boundary, it's the side boundary. Well, the rear side.
Yes, is it in favour of both properties or only in favour of 57?
You don't need an easement if it's in favour of both. In favour of the subject property, do you?
Well, we need to say the other corner, the other property next door to
57
yeah.
and
59. Oh, yes, 55 and 57.
Yep.
And do we need a breakthrough panel? Breakthrough panel so that when they construct it, it's easy to actually break through.
An easement means an easement.
An easement
for access.
By way of a breakthrough panel.
The easement is given only in the case of redevelopment. You need the actual construction, which is a breakthrough panel. That part of the wall has to be constructed.
They have to accommodate the easement, whatever they do.
Mm. Don't they only have to do it if there's redevelopment?
No. That's part of this consent.
You don't want to make it impossible for them to actually get an opening if there's some sort of structural element to that wall that it's going to, not be impossible.
No, what's going on here? Take that away. An easement for access 3 metres wide is to be provided.
Yeah, I know, but in terms of the construction of the wall, you have to make it, it can't be like so that you can never remove the wall because structurally it's required. It has to have been, you have to have some sort of notation that it's structured like a breakthrough panel that's easy to open it up when you need it. So the easement is the property rights to do it.
It's the western boundary. Look, I understand what's being said and we concur with it.
Right.
It's just to, like what I was trying to say, we have to ensure that it's actually able to be constructed. Should at some stage the development happen next door, that we need to ensure that there isn't some major structural element put in the way in the easement and there's going to be like a big nightmare to try and sort that out later on.
I understand.
Has to be some provision in the construction for there to be an opening. You understand?
Yep.
It is no. We understand and we don't have any issue. We do have one more comment, though. We'd like the easement to be associated with an approved development next door. There's no need for the easement to be implemented to service the existing house on the property.
Oh, no. In the event of redevelopment,
the
right.
suggestions?
Yes.
It refers to the rear boundary. It should actually be not along the... No, it shouldn't be on the rear boundary. It has to line up with the central driveway.
Oh, I see.
Yes. I mean, this is the rear boundary.
Yes.
It needs to line up with its central driveway.
Well, we'll just take away the words on the western boundary.
Yes, leave the western boundary.
Yes, leave the western boundary, take away rear boundary.
You could add in alignment with the approved driveway at 59 Warren Road. In alignment with the approved driveway at 59 Warren Road. Yes, satisfactory. Thank you.
All right, thank you for your patience. We can now deal with item number nine. This is the proposed residential flat building at 28 to 30 George Street, Marrickville. All right, who's here for that matter? Please come forward. For the record, who have we got?
Najla Khoury from BKA Architecture, the architect.
And
Ali Hamoud from Plan Zone, town planning consultant.
Thank you. Mr. Hammond, did you prepare the latest clause 4.6 objection?
Yes, I did, Chair.
Thank you. All right. Now, we've got where it is. I haven't got it with me.
Can I just ask you the question before we commence in terms of, this is deferred from a previous panel member, and we need to understand what process that you went through in terms of the previous deferral to today. We see the 4.6, which we've got some reservations about as well, but what about addressing the actual issues that were raised about the bulk and scale of the development and presentation to the streetscape? We didn't see anything that provided us with any comfort there.
Yeah, we can. So following the deferral last time, we went and we spoke to our team, the planner, and council as well, and we provided a new streetscape elevation to show the future character that's envisaged by council along George Street, and that's part of the DA 202. So that's a new drawing from last time we were here, which shows the four-storey approved developments along George Street and how our proposed development sits within that. And we haven't indicated the street elevation opposite to the south side of George Street, but that it is also four stories along there. And we've also...
Now, the 4.6 doesn't raise this at all in terms of the controls being abandoned. That's what you're saying now.
Sorry, can I just ask which control? The height control in reference to the...
The FSR?
Correct. So
there's a 20% variation sort, I believe, or 19 point thereabouts?
Correct. So there's no assumption or suggestion that the FSR control has in fact been abandoned, but there has been a record of council supporting variations to the FSR development standard under the LEP where there's a general compliance with the height development standard under the LEP. The height and FSR development standards that are within the Marrickville LEP are known to have a disconnect in the sense that the FSR, when the LEP was prepared, the FSR and the height weren't closely related in terms of the forms that would be envisaged for developments. And there was, in fact, a council motion years ago to try and reduce the height standard under the LEP to bring it in line with the FSRs that are in this, the LEP, and that was not supported by the council at the time. So there's no assertion that the FSR standard has been abandoned, and in terms of the 19.2% variation, there is a significant contribution of that by the open central foyer area, which connects the two areas, or two separate, effectively the two built forms that contain the dwellings within the development. And that was a consequence of a request from the deferral at the last panel to include those open central foyer areas. But in addition to that, there was a reduction in the unit sizes because the units were proposed to be over the minimum requirements of the ADG. So they were given some additional space to provide better amenity, but they were reduced in order to try and bring the actual FSR figure down rather than keep the size of the units plus include the open foyers as requested by the panel. They referred to the open breezeway / corridors as requested by the previous panel deferral. So in terms of the exercise that was undertaken from the deferral to date, as Najla said, there was a review in terms of the approved developments on this northern side of George Street, which clearly start painting a picture of four-storey forms. Admittedly, the built form that has been proposed and slightly amended in the current version of the plans does further assess that fourth floor level slightly because of the reduction in the gross floor area that occurred. But in general, the desired future character that's emerging through the approved DAs along this section of George Street is the four-storey form. And also having regard to the southern side of George Street where there are newer developments also that have been constructed and approved, there's a variation of building heights ranging from 4, 5 to 6 stories in some instances along that section of George Street. So we had a look at the emerging desired character that's coming out of the approved developments, the existing character that's there in relation to the 3 to 4 storey forms, and determined with consultation with council's planning staff, as they mention in their report, that the 4-storey form is considered to be a better streetscape presentation for this section of George Street, as opposed to what a 3-storey form would present in terms of that misalignment because of the approved 4-storey forms that are setting that desired character.
Sorry, can I just advise that I was actually on the panel that made that resolution. So there were two concerns from the panel. The first one was that the panel didn't support the 4-storey development. It wasn't, and we knew about the DA next door. So it was purely looking at the street, and we visited the site, and John McEnany was on the panel. Forget who the other person, but there were people who had, you know, town planning background, and we came to the conclusion that we didn't support that form. Plus, this doesn't comply with the control because you're exceeding the height anyway in terms of the lift overrun. The second concern was that the floor space ratio wasn't calculated correctly because the breezeways were excluded. So I saw in the council's report that you, and you just mentioned it then, that you actually made a reduction in the real floor space. By how much did you actually take out of the building? Not the breezeway are part of it, but actual real reduction in the units or cutting back the building in some way? It wasn't really clear in the report.
Because the only thing we had was the calculation that was inaccurate before because it didn't include the breezeways, but we've got no apples to compare apples with.
Yeah, I believe I'll get to the report section. Sorry, if you give me one moment, just get to...
been abandoned.
Yeah, no,
if